Ladies and gentlemen, we are here with Kelleen Potter, not Kayleen, as I've been saying. Kelleen is one of my favorite people, absolutely one of my favorite people. And I did not kidnap her. We are not in an abandoned basement, which is so sweet. Where are we at, like Kelleen? I know.
We are at the next Encircle location that will open this fall.
Woo, in Heber.
In Heber City.
It's opening this fall, so keep your eyes peeled.
Exciting.
Pierced for the fall 2023. What year is it?
Two.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
You got this.
Cal, do you want to take over?
Being gay, being out, being queer is such a cool thing, and yes, there are tough aspects of it, but you have a community.
There's so many heart-wrenching, heartbreaking stories, and those are so valid, but also there's a lot of stories of joy. Welcome to today's episode of the podcast, where we're talking about joy and queer things. This is amazing. This is like a really big building, too.
It's big, it's beautiful, it's historical, it's perfect.
And we felt like it was really important, if we're going to be in Heber, interviewing you to do it in the Encircle home, why might people be aware of you? Where might people have heard your name from?
Let's see. Well, I used to have this job in Heber, and I was the mayor. I was the mayor of Heber.
I'm going to take over because she was amazing. Absolutely amazing. You had kind of like a lovely little scandal.
I did. I stirred the pot in Heber.
Tell us more about it.
So when I was the mayor, we had a person named Allison Belknap, and she came and said, hey, why don't we hang pride flags on Main Street? Because she wanted to get more recognition and support for LGBTQ people in Heber. And at the time, there were no conversations happening, really. It was really a tough environment here. This was just 3 years ago.
Wow.
And there just wasn't really any support. There weren't really any organized
groups.
Heber's
kind of a small town.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah. So she requested this, and I looked at the ordinance and thought, well, doesn't say you can't, because at the time we hadn't had any controversial requests for banners. We hang banners for the rodeo and the, you know, Christmas time and just a lot of local events. And so I approved it because at the time in the ordinance, the mayor could approve it. And I notified the council. And once they went up, we had a little bit of drama. And there were a lot of people who were pretty upset and came to council and spoke publicly, and that all the news stations came. It made national news. We had people protesting at the park. I had emails and social media, and it turned into a pretty big deal.
And you're not just like, you know, the mayor who supports the LGBTQ community. That's like, you have family members too.
I do. My oldest son is gay, and he came out. He's 25, and he came out when he was 14 here.
Wow. Okay.
So I had lived the last 10 years, you know, 10, 11 years, dealing with this and knowing what was available for support here and what my children were treated like at the high school and the middle school. After he came out, I'd connected with the Mama Dragons, and that's how I got educated, because it was about 3 or 4 years of me crying in the closet.
And that's like an LGBTQ group for like parents of queer children.
Yeah, moms, just moms.
Moms, oh, strictly moms.
Yeah, I think there's a Papa Dragon group.
Dads can go find their own thing.
But I didn't know them. But anyway, that's how I got educated, and it was about 3 or 4 years of me being very active in the LDS church and looking for support and resources and not finding any. And then connecting with these women and getting really educated about what this was all about. And I remember I went to a retreat in St. George. I'd connected with a friend from Especially for Youth when we were counselors and speakers together. And he got married to a man. And I said, called him, A. Todd Jones. I don't know if you guys know him. And I said, what would you want your mom to know? I just feel like my child, we're not connected. He's struggling. And he said, you need to connect with these women. They just have a group of about 200 moms. And so I went down to St. George, and I spent a week with 50 women I'd never met. And I was full on Oprah going, okay, tell me how you made it work with the church. And how did you do this? And by the time I left there, I went, they're wrong. They're wrong on this issue. Like, it changed my whole world, because I was able to talk to other moms and see the pattern of shame.
Reconciling this is not really working.
Yeah, and I was thinking, there's nothing wrong with my kid. Like, he's been told messages about himself that aren't true.
Wow.
And he doesn't see a future for himself. And he feels shame, and he feels like he doesn't have role models. He's in this little bubble, in this little small town bubble. And it was really damaging for him. And I was educated by all these women. And now there's probably 7,000 Mama Dragons, but at the time there were 200.
Wow.
And after I left there, it was never the same. And that's what educated me. And then I started really digging in and understanding the issue better and becoming more supportive of my son. And later, I have five kids.
You have five kids?
I have five kids. Oh, and then my third child. Well, time I remember going, whew, glad my kid's just gay, because that looks really hard to have a trans kid. I'm watching these moms and looking at the decisions they had to make. And I thought, wow, glad that's not me.
I know, it's like the acceptance of the gay community is significantly greater than other minorities represented by the alphabet mafia or whatever people call us.
Yeah. Well, the universe heard that. And then a few years later, my third child, my 6'3" child that I thought was a boy, started really struggling and ended up spending a lot of time in the hospital. We went through a whole thing.
Gosh.
And then she transitioned and is now my beautiful Faye. But I learned a lot more.
So you have a gay son and a trans daughter?
Uh-huh.
Oh, Colleen, you, like, let's go.
I know, and then I have a return missionary for my second son, mm-hmm. who's going in the Air Force.
And he is straight.
He's straight. And then I have a daughter
I'm just kidding.
And then my next child's straight. And then I have a Chinese daughter that we adopted from an orphanage in China. So I always say I have like a Benetton app.
Let's go. like minorities all around, let's do it.
Let's just bring them all in.
I think this is really a special opportunity to have you here, because most people that I interview are queer and they don't have kids. And I think you have I think a lot of people might be hearing this or listening, looking for ways to know how to better support, or even how to reconcile, or how to be a presence in their kid's life. Is there something that is there something for you? How did you keep from, and maybe you did, and if you're willing to share, how did you stay as a supportive presence? How did you keep from pushing them into other territories?
I have a lot of regrets. I really do. I think the world has changed a lot, and there's a lot more resources, and there's ways to understand. I mean, a podcast like this, there was nothing.
Nothing.
I wasn't hearing stories. Mm-hmm. I wasn't seeing people that I had known and trusted and, fangirled over on Studio C and then saw them come out and said, wait, that's Stacey. I trust him. I know him. So, I mean, there's so many people now who've been able to come out and tell their stories. Mm-hmm. There weren't as many 11 years ago as there are now. Mm. There weren't as many podcasts and resources. At least in my little bubble, I didn't know anybody.
Can I just you said, I kind of just love that you said that there's a lot of regrets. Now, Kalina is amazing. She's fighting for the people in Heber, a huge advocate, does work within Circle. Kalina is amazing. And even Kalina has regrets. And I think that's really important, because we don't walk life perfectly, what I mean?
Yeah.
We don't always navigate spaces not bumping into other people or causing disturbances.
Yeah.
And I think it's beautiful to see that Kalina's an awesome advocate. And yes, we make mistakes, but living in those mistakes does nothing for us or for the people we want to help, right? Yeah. It's moving forward. Sorry to interrupt.
No, thank you. I appreciate that, because we come at everything from our life experiences, mm-hmm. and what we've been taught and what we think we know. And I was speaking to a group in
Park
City. Doing
the best with what we have.
Yeah. I was speaking to this group in Park City, and I just said, I'm so sorry. I was so late to the party. And these beautiful lesbian women who were older, and they'd gone through the hard years, and they said, no. I said, you're here. And thank you. And there was none of this where were you when we were struggling 20 mm-hmm. years ago, And I feel
which is entitled.
Yeah.
It's entitled to feel that pain.
It is. But I feel so much grace, so much grace for everyone who has struggled and suffered in this community, and obviously people who have gone through things that I couldn't understand. But I'm trying, and I try to understand, and I try to speak up when I can. And that's why I feel like the universe just came together and said, here you are as a mayor. You've seen what your kids have gone through in this community. Mm. You've met other people. You know other families. You know kids who, the head therapist at our school district said there are a lot of kids who would rather take their lives than come out here. And I heard those stories, and I've leaned into it, and I thought, I have an opportunity to try and make a difference in a little space, in a little tiny city. Where they can know that kids have said, I looked up and saw those banners and thought, maybe they don't all hate us after all. To think that just because of who they are and didn't choose it and thought, everyone's going to hate me now. Mm. To be able to go, wait, I saw a Pride banner on Main Street, or stories of people that pulled over and cried, or emails that I got of people that said, I grew up there and thought I'd never come back, and thank you.
What did that feel like in the midst of all the criticism and the anger? Was that like encouraging?
Yes,
was it like,
so much. Because I mean, nobody wants, I was always like, you know, let's do the right thing and make everybody happy. And it was hard for me to feel like I was someone that people didn't like. And that they, and I just thought if they only understood, they would be fine. And I would try to tell the story and some people just didn't and wouldn't. And even during the election, it came, I thought, oh, it's not going to come up. It came up just last November,
really?
You know. Oh, there were people. I mean, it's for sure one of the reasons I lost the election by 60 votes in November. And there were people that said, you lost because of that. This community's not ready for that. And so that came back to me from people, you know, people who had supported me in the past and then said, we can't support that. And I said, I followed the law, for one thing. But yeah. I have been a vocal supporter of the queer community and wanted people to get educated and find more opportunities to show kindness and love here for these kids and adults too who have gone through hard things. So anyway, it was definitely an interesting time, you know, back then. And people would say, well, you could lose, you know, are you going to run again? You could lose. I said, oh, I'll go down on this all day long. Like, I was willing to die on that hill. There's other issues. I'm not willing to die on that hill. That hill I was willing to die on because I felt like it was the right thing to do. It was a small thing. It was such a small thing. But I thought, for what I went through compared to what my kids went through compared to what all these other people went through in a community that didn't understand, it was nothing.
I mean, let's talk about allyship. So when I came out, right when I was getting ready to come out, I remember, well, I came out and all of a sudden I felt completely exposed. I felt everyone sees me. Now people who might have liked me or saw me in passing can form opinions about me based on this thing I've been hiding my whole life. And I remember once I was driving home feeling just like, I was living in this kind of like country area of Provo. And I was like, man, everyone here is probably like, I don't know. They just probably like, they do not want me here. And I remember driving by this house and it was the first time I noticed that this house had a rainbow flag in the window. And I had no idea who these people were, but I immediately felt a little bit more comfortable in my community. Like I was like, my neighborhood, I can belong here. And I wasn't like, I'm gonna wear a rainbow bikini and parade around.
the feather boa.
I literally was like, I can just live a little more peacefully. Like, and I eventually, years later, I stopped at that house and I was like, hey, I want you to know your rainbow flag meant a lot to me.
Wow.
And they were really surprised and caught off guard, but I was like, you just never know. Like, you've saved lives. And I love that. And you have a great example of like allyship. You like, so the term ally was popularized in World War II, and it referred to the countries that fought alongside us, right? They didn't fight for us. They didn't watch from the rafters and were like, good luck, we'll clean up the mess. They fought alongside us. You sacrificed in your allyship, and that is like so touching. It's so touching.
Well, it feels like sacred ground. Like I feel so grateful that I had that opportunity because I'd been educated. I'd had a lot of years of hearing these stories, and I thought, I get to be in a public place where I get to talk to people. I'm not kidding you, still. I went to get my hair done and someone had followed my story and said, I have this son and he doesn't come out of his room. And I'm walking out on my walk in the morning and a car pulls over and she reaches out and holds my hand and she's teary and telling me a situation in their family with their gay child. And because I have been able to get past my little self-conscious and whatever.
You're like fear of what people
think.
Yeah,
my fear of what they think. And I, you know, to be able to go, I can help other people. And the worst thing, this story, I tell this because I've apologized for it. My friend said to me when my son first came out, she's like, well, maybe you can learn more and you can help other parents of gay kids. And I said, I don't even want to know about this because I don't even want to help other parents because I was just horrified. Like, I didn't know what to do and I was so afraid. And I just thought, this isn't what was supposed to happen. I was going to have my little perfect family and we'd all be in the temple together and it was all going to be beautiful.
And your son's
my grandkids
would fade away. And they would be,
So after all of these years and to be able to learn so much and to just go, this is just a biological variation. This is just part of the beautiful humanity that God has created all people of different, you know, and so many things that we're different in. And it's something people have just misunderstood. And to be able to just understand and go, what a beautiful thing that more people can just find love and support and family and thrive together. What a beautiful thing. How is anyone else hurt by that? And for me to be able to understand that well enough to talk to the mom who's crying, to talk to people in Heber City from all different areas, from the health department, from the police department, and say, I've worked here for 20 years, but I've never told anyone about my gay son. To become a safe person, that the mom who I would have, if I could have had a safe person, I cried for 3 years. I had nobody to talk to. And I thought, I get to be that for moms who have nobody to talk to.
You said something earlier that I really want to dive into a little bit. And this might be kind of a tough question. You said once you got over the fear, you were able to get past like whatever obstacles were keeping you from like showing up and support. Like what? How did you do that? How do you get past the fear? You know what I mean? Because I think that's one of the biggest motivators we have is like what people think and mm-hmm. fitting into community and losing that community. So how did you move past that fear?
You know, it was hard for me because when people talked me into running for, I ran for city council first, mm-hmm. and I would go to bed at night with my jaw just quivering because I felt exposed.
Wow.
I felt like people were watching me and they were judging what I said and they were deciding if I voted one way or the other that I was good or bad. And it was so hard for me because I'd always just been the pleaser and I was the state primary president and everything I could do was happy and nice. And and so to all of a sudden...
Like you don't ruffle feathers?
No.
People don't dislike you?
No.
Kids sing and it's great.
Yeah. I was not that girl. And all of a sudden I had to start standing up and saying things. So I started learning that. I did a lot of Brené Brown. Vulnerability. Like right at the time my son came out and I learned about shame, I learned about vulnerability, and I would literally listen to her talks before I'd go out to a debate or before I'd speak on something I was nervous about. And I just thought, you know what? I'm in the arena.
I'm in the arena.
And those people are in the cheap seats, and it doesn't matter what they say because they're not in the arena.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sharing my experience, and I'm doing the best I can. So I was starting to learn that just by being a public, you know, an elected official. And then when this came out, it was like next level. It was next level stuff.
I do want to define, like, just so people understand, The Man in the Arena is one of my, like, favorite, mm-hmm. I actually don't know it super well, the quote word for word, but the gist of it is, it's Theodore Roosevelt, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Brené Brown talks about it. And the concept is that you don't, if you're in the arena, you're in the midst of it.
Yeah.
People can be, spectators can be watching, and they'll all have opinions. It's like your dad watching Monday Night Football, and he's like, run faster, but he can't run over half a mile per hour. You know what I mean? It's like, it's easy to have opinions on people who are in the fight, and it is complete, it just doesn't make sense to give weight to the opinions of people who aren't in the fight, because mm-hmm. they have no idea what it's like. They can have opinions, but their opinions don't mean much because they haven't experienced it. And so until someone's been in the fight,
mm-hmm.
It's like their opinions don't really have the same weight.
Yeah.
Is that kind of the gist of it?
Exactly. And you have to learn how, because at first it would be really hard for me.
It's tough.
When people are trashing me on social media or they look at me funny and say things and, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to realize, like, until you are in that arena, and that arena for me was being an elected official and understanding what it was like to be the mother mm-hmm. of queer kids. And understanding what their lives were like in this community and the texts that they got that said, watch out, homo, and, you know, the kind of experience they were having, their lived experience in this community was not good. And I knew that. And people can say, oh, it's better now. And I'm like, you don't know what those people's experiences are like until you live it. And I wasn't even living it, but I was learning about it.
So if you aren't in the arena.
If you're not in the arena and you're saying, we don't want those flags, I'm like, you don't know. Mm-hmm. You don't know about a kid that saw that rainbow and thought, oh, there's some support here for me.
Like, I have, there's hope.
There's hope.
Yeah.
There's hope. Is that too much? And I thought, I don't really care what they think. But it took me a minute to learn that and process it and start sorting mm-hmm. out those voices and understanding that their voices didn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
And I was doing the best I could with the arenas that I was in.
I had people say stuff like, when I came out, just all sorts of things, like people say things, but it would be like, oh my goodness, just be single. It's not that hard. And I was like, Have you done that?
Your whole life?
Some people have been forced to do it, and that's a whole other situation. But it's like, have you done that?
Have you been 14 and thought that every time you felt an attraction to someone that you were sinning or that mm-hmm. it was Satan? I mean, have you ever had to experience that? They haven't when they say this.
I remember seeing boys, like other guys, especially like teens and like growing up, they would like double take, like a cute girl would walk by and they'd be like, wow, she's so cute. And I could never do that. And not that that was like, what a tragedy. I could never double take a gorgeous man. But it's just like little things like that were like, I had to like lockbox and it took a toll. Like it took a toll.
Well, even like, you know, parents always put their kids' dance pictures out there, mm-hmm. you know, social media. And, oh, I'm so happy my kids went to the prom. And that pain of that, of just watching that and going, my kid can't go to the prom
mm-hmm.
in an authentic way. With someone that he was genuinely interested and attracted to mm-hmm. that he could connect with like that. And no one thinks about that. you know,
that
when
is
they're
a
not
very
in that
real
world.
Experience.
Yeah.
Wow. I haven't even thought about
like
that.
All the simple little things that are just part developmental mm-hmm. milestones. And, you know, I'm because my son came out so young and my trans daughter came out and ended up going to they both ended up going to Walden down in Provo because it's much more diverse and, you know, it was more supportive of them. But when they were here and even, you know, just watching those little milestones where parents, you know, watch their kids go through. Like, I remember being sad that my kid wasn't, you know, he wasn't going to go on a mission. And I'd sit there and listen to the kids that teased him in high school and get up and talk about their missions and how great it was. And everything just came together. And like, there's so many little subtle things where it's a different journey when you have had a culture and a world where there's a script, there's sort of, you know, this way that you're supposed to do it.
And it works for some people.
And it works for some people. And even some, you know, that are queer can still do it. My kid, it did not work for him.
Like
he just had bail. And so that was hard to watch because he had saw his life a certain way. So anyway, when people say things and tell you what's easy and what's not easy and, you know, telling bi people, well, you can just marry the opposite sex. How
just
hard is
choose.
That?
Yeah.
So
that's so interesting. I like this, like, and I feel like I relate a lot to your story and just the concept of being pulled. I was at a crossroads where I was like, my sexuality cannot be ignored anymore. The way I was raised, my culture, the community it's like at a crossroads where I have to, like, they're pulling me apart and I'm going to either be ripped apart or I have to make a decision and like take it by the hands. And it seems like you had a very similar decision with like, what you knew would be an easier route, a less confrontational route, and what you knew would be a more meaningful route. And that's really cool that you
absolutely, yeah.
You had to just like, like take it into your own hands.
Yeah, and I know it's nothing compared to coming out as a queer person, but for
me. Well, I've never been in your position as a mayor, and I'm not gonna pretend like I'm like, you just had to make decisions
just
and like
be the freaking mayor.
Piss off the city. Try having a crush on a boy. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm like, no. Very valid.
It's funny how, I meet so many people now that have heard this story. Like, that's how people know me is from these banners. I was biking. I went biked around Bear Lake, and I'm in Idaho, and I start talking to this lady, and she'd heard of it.
She's like, you're the mayor.
You're the mayor of Heber.
You're the mayor of Heber who did the whole, like, queer thing.
You did that? But no, it really did feel like a little bit of a coming out because I had, like, when the council changed the ordinance so the banners couldn't go up again, and they changed it so the mayor didn't get to approve them anymore.
Ah, because they were like, we can't have this.
Yeah. And so people were coming in and speaking, and my voice was just quivering because I was like, you've got to listen. You've got to listen to what's happening. Listen to these parents. Mm-hmm. I know you have political pressure,
listen
to what's at stake here. These are real people's lives, and it's so simple. It's a banner. Anyway, it was hard for me. It was very emotional, but I would get nervous. I would. And then I've gotten more brave over the years to not care so much and to just go, I'm on the right side of history.
That's the process.
Good luck, people. And I told the council. I went in and spoke recently because these brave kids went in and they asked for the banners again this year.
Mm-hmm.
And the council I don't think they handled it well. But I went in later, me and Jamie Belknap, a mom of a couple of the kids who went in, and I just said, someday this is all going to be different, and you're going to look back and go, I can't believe we were so cruel. I can't believe we didn't get on the right side of history. And it's going to happen with you or without you, because we're going to keep fighting, and we're going to keep working, and people keep coming out, so people keep going, that's my friend Daniel. Like, people would say to me, my parents said something homophobic, and I said, that my friend's son Daniel, he's great. Like, they're going to keep meeting more people like you guys and all of you, and it's going to keep changing. And today, I said, you have a chance to make a difference. You can make a difference in the seat where you're sitting.
I think about that a lot, too, where it's like, especially in the context of, like, civil rights movements, you see those pictures in like, old history books, and you see, like, the just, like, neighborhood people picketing, like, segregation and being like, ew, or, like, yelling at someone sitting in a restaurant, where I think a lot, like, back then in the moment, I for sure think these aren't monstrous people. I think they're people that thought they were doing what was right. Mm-hmm. People that thought they were defending some element of tradition or some important value. And now they are monsters of history.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, how would it, like, you're going to be immortalized by your hatred.
Exactly.
And I think about that. So when it's like right side history, it's like, think about what you're fighting. Listen to the experiences of others. Because you just might be a monster of history when you look back and you're like, oh, I really, really fought so-and-so's right just to marry someone they love.
Yeah, I fought against
it. just to put up rainbow flags for queer kids who are dying at higher rates.
Right. And somehow to say, I know what God wants better than you. I know what God wants for your life better than you. And you don't get to choose that, you know, you who this person that you love. It's beyond belief anymore to me. And people continue to do it because, and I get that they come from certain experiences and they think that they're following their religious tradition or whatever, but
like they're doing what's right, or they think they're being,
but yeah, it's time to let go and learn and listen.
Think about how much we've grown and changed just over time. And like the short time I've been alive, and like the things you don't, and like that you're like, oh, that's not nice to like treat women like they're inferior to men.
Exactly.
Like little things like that were common. And now we're like, duh.
So common. I used to teach American government class at UVU. And there was a chart in one of the books about public opinion on different issues. And they were talking about how public opinion influences policy. And there was a chart on acceptance of gay marriage. And it literally was just like against for. And it just went just like this. Like, it has changed so drastically.
Wow.
Whereas some other issues, it kind of stays, you know, over time. But this is one where I think the more brave people coming out, changed people's attitudes, and it's slowly...
All of a sudden, they're getting to know people.
Yeah.
Now my family has a queer person in their family, and they're like, I know Stacey.
Yeah,
Stacey's not a monster.
And how many years ago did you come out?
I came out in 2018. At the end of 2018.
Okay.
So it was like early 2019.
Yeah. But even just, you know, since my son, you know, he's 25. He came out at 14. You know, 11 years ago, people were, I mean, it was still same-sex attraction.
Yeah.
You know, they just were not.
It's changed a lot since I came out.
Yeah.
Wow. And that's only been 3 years.
Yeah. So I just think, thankfully,
Oh,
it's changing quickly. Someday we'll go, what are we going to do with this house? We'll just have parties because we won't need it because everyone's just going to love everyone and let them be who they are.
That's the goal, right? That all the queer nonprofits just like crumble because there's nobody.
Because there's no work to do. I don't know how many years that'll take.
No, it might take some time. But
it'll take a minute. Huh?
I do. It's so funny because I wanted to talk about the joys of being queer. Right. And obviously you're not queer.
No.
Right. But I want to know from you, have you experienced joy? Any type of like, would you say queer joy, some byproduct for queer joy, almost like you experienced that pain, right? Where you're like, your kids hurt and you hurt. Were there moments that you were joyful about your kids or your family, your friends, their queerness? Is there moments that like, is there, tell me about it.
Yeah. Well, one, you know, one powerful one. So my daughter Faye, who came out around 14, 15, a couple of years, well, gosh, it's just been a couple of years ago. It was probably shortly before COVID. We went to the court to get her name and gender changed on her birth certificate. And the way they do it in the 4th District down here in Provo, which we were a little nervous because it's Provo, but we'd heard that this judge was very supportive and friendly and helpful. And so we went through this process, and there was a whole room full of people with all these different issues. And they saved these gender name changes to the end of the of that session.
Okay.
And so we're sitting there till the very end, and they let everyone leave, and then the judge pulls us up, and it's my daughter and her girlfriend and a couple of my other kids and her dad, my child's dad. And this judge was so good, and he said, thank you. He said, I keep this to the end because I want to have a chance to meet you, and I want to tell my kids about you because you are so brave to stand up and be who you are in this world where it's really hard to be you. And I was teary because I thought, what a beautiful moment for this little Faye who'd gone to school down in this Walden, who has really struggled being public, walking out to the store in Heber, having a job, just living her life because people don't understand and have a hard time accepting a person who is 6'3" and has a deep voice and has long hair and is a girl and is a woman, a beautiful woman. And so she's struggled with that, you know, process, which everyone does, I think, in that community where they learn how to embrace how they want to look and what parts of transitioning. And so we went to this court, and this wonderful judge said these wonderful, kind things and granted her that her desire to have a different name, to let her decide what her gender is, what her name is, and just say, you get to choose because... And I honor you for it. It was a beautiful, joyful moment for all of us.
Oh, I love that. It's almost like this moment in which her gender is being like affirmed.
Yes.
Which like her identity is being recognized in a world and a time when it was constantly being pushed back to people, treating her poorly. Her mere existence was a cause of issue for people. Well, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah, and it did feel like queer joy because it was like, People in high places are recognizing this, and you're able to get this thing. Where in the past, people in positions in government were taking away rights mm-hmm. and were stopping people from choosing. That moment was really beautiful.
Wow. I do want to just, I think this is really interesting because, like, you've experienced a lot of pain in the way the community has, like, treated your children, right? Mm-hmm. This isn't just affecting, like, queer people. This is affecting mayors of cities,
families,
family members. But I love, too, that, like, you've also been able to experience the joy that comes from them being able to find joy. And I think that's so beautiful.
Yeah.
Like, we're all connected. Our families are connected. Like, what parent doesn't want to celebrate what their kids celebrating,
exactly.
Right?
We just recently, Jamie Belknap and I, we started a...
Jamie Belknap sounds like a baller.
She's awesome. She has two queer kids. Started a parent support group in Heber.
Oh.
And we were sitting here talking to these parents, and you just feel so much connection and understanding. And you talk about sometimes you can't hang out with the same people you used to hang out with, and we needed a community where our kids can feel accepted. And that's where I felt that. I feel that joy with the connections that I've made.
Wow.
You know, other parents where you can just feel like, I'm so excited that you're... You know, your child's getting married, or I've performed a couple gay weddings. Jeff McLean, Michael McLean's son, you know, beautiful, darling Jeff and his partner Joe came to my office as mayor. I got to perform their wedding. What an honor. I got to perform a wedding for this gay couple. They'd been together for 40 years and hadn't been married, and one of them was in the ICU dying. And they needed to get married for some legal purposes, and I had met them because of the banners. And they had a little group to toast the mayor. And I met this beautiful queer couple.
40 years.
40 years. They came from England and they moved here. And the people across the street put something on social media about how, you know, the spawn of Satan has moved to our neighborhood. Just awful stuff.
Oh, about them?
About them. And so anyway.
Like, doesn't know anything about them besides.
No, just that they moved in. This was years ago. But anyway, he was dying in the ICU and they asked me to come and perform their wedding. And he was alert enough just to do that. And then the next day he was out and then he passed a couple days later. What an honor for me to feel the joy of their love, their authentic love. And that's to me, I guess for me, queer joy would be people just being their authentic, genuine selves and just feeling the joy of living and connecting with humans, whether they're a romantic relationship or a friendship or a parent family, just to be able to go, this is who I am. I'm authentically me and feel completely loved and accepted in that moment. That feels like joy to me.
I love that so much. Colleen, this feels wonderful. Is there anything else that you'd like to share if there are parents or queer people watching at all? Anything, any nugget, something that you feel strongly about? You shared a lot of really good ones, so don't feel pressure.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, I guess one of my biggest regrets is the way those first few years where I just stayed in my little religious bubble and around people who were straight. Mm-hmm. And my kid's dad has a cousin who's married to a man and they've been together for 30 years and I didn't reach out to him. And I've told him a million times, I'm so sorry, like, why didn't I come to you? So whatever your religious beliefs are, or whatever, you know, your parents' beliefs are, if they can talk to people that are in the community and just hear their stories.
Wow.
I mean, and as a mother, as a, you know, a mother of children, anyone, if you want your mom, I will go to lunch with your mom. I will go talk to your neighbors. Like, I sometimes it's just those one-on-one conversations that sometimes they get, you know, people get impressions from the media of what they think this is all about. Mm-hmm. And to be able to have those one-on-one conversations and get rid of the fear. There's nothing to be afraid of.
It's like people.
Yeah, it's just part of being human. You know, I'm open. I always tell people I'm happy to talk to them or their parents or help them find resources.
Careful.
It's just
I'm going to be emailing you from different
all
aliases
day long.
Being like,
I know.
Can we do lunch? It's just going to be me each time. Go, being like, I just want to hang out.
Can we? Can we please just go to lunch? We talked about this before.
We did.
Okay, this is happening now.
Okay. Oh my gosh, let's run together.
Let's do it. Let's
Can I be like assistant mayor?
Can you?
But is that a thing? Yeah, that's not a
thing. If I were the mayor anymore, you can help me in a circle. That's what we're doing right now, right?
I just want to be Colleen's assistant.
Come to Heber.
Oh my goodness. Well, Colleen, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
She is beauty, she is grace, absolutely brilliant, and truly, like, you're a great ally. And we're lucky to have you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for sharing your experiences and for what you've done to make Heber a place where now it's gonna have its own Encircle home.
Isn't that beautiful?
It's beautiful.
It would have changed my life 10 years ago.
I love it. And you've changed so many lives.
Oh,
it's like, hey, if it's not what you want it, let's start working to get it there, right? And you are a great example of that.
It's wonderful. Thank you.
Colleen, thank you. And we'll see y'all next time. I don't know how to end this thing.